Amen. All right. Just stand up again for you that sit back down. We'll take up our offering tonight. Amen. Got a whole bunch of emails here. Hold on, I don't know if I should read them or not because I ain't read them yet. Might be bad. This fellow sent me one from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Amen. What a blessing. Said people really get a kick out of your wonderful preaching. What does that mean? Get a kick out of it. Got in Baton Rouge. Somebody here from Pensacola, Florida. Somebody here from, I don't know where that one's from. This one here is from, I don't know. No idea. How do you tell where these people's from? I don't know unless they put it on here. Amen. Well, let's everybody give tonight. Hope you've got something to give this evening. Honor the Lord, and He'll bless you for it. Can we do that? Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this Wednesday night. Lord, it's just such a blessing to see our friends and our church family. God, as we come before you this evening, we ask you, Lord, that you'd help us as it come time to give. We pray that you'd bless this offering, multiply and use it for your glory. Have your way in our hearts, Lord. Use us, Lord. Bless this money. Multiply it. Lord, bless those that are sick. I pray, God, for Brother Roby. Lord, that you would work it out. He could be back at church with us soon. And thank you for what you've done for Brother Joey and others. I pray that you'd just move in our hearts this evening. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all get our Bibles open now this evening and get in the Word of God here just a few minutes tonight. Amen. See if you can get me on here, brother. 1, 2, 3. Hello.
Hello.
It's coming. 1, 2, 3. All right. Now, I was to do something this evening. Doing a little study tonight. We're going to Virginia tomorrow. Some of them asked me, where are we going to stay? So I told them. Wednesday services. I told them. Everybody likes to know their future. If you're getting a new job, you say, well, where am I going to be? How much am I going to get paid? Rat here was trying to get the job at Baxter and Marion. I said, how much are you going to be making? She said, I don't know. I said, that'd be my first question, man. If I'm going to stay there 8 hours, what are you going to pay me? But we all want to know our future. So what we're going to do tonight, study a few minutes on your future and my future. The Bible says we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, if that's true, which we know it is, I'd like to know a little bit about it. Somebody tells me I got to go to court, stand before a judge. Fill me in, man. Tell me what's going on. Get me a good lawyer. I don't want to be no surprises. So let's study about the judgment seat of Christ. Take your Bible. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians 5 tonight. And I think you find this phrase, judgment seat of Christ, 2 times in your Bible. I want to tell you something very scary, very tragic. And it is this. The judgment seat of Christ is not in the new versions of the Bible. And I'm thinking of the NIV. I don't have my NIV on me right now. But it does not say judgment seat of Christ. Therefore, it does not differentiate between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. And a lot of churches and religions teach one general resurrection, one general judgment where everybody stands. But we as Christians believe that we'll stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's a difference between the judgment seat of Christ and the great white throne judgment. Somebody tell me what the main difference is in the judgment seat of Christ. Every Christian needs to know this now. You're headed that way. Judgment seat of Christ, great white throne judgment. Who can tell me? All right? Somebody say, Joey, go ahead. That's right. There you go. There you go. Hey, everybody hear that? The great white throne judgment is when all the dead of all the ages come out of hell and death, the grave, and they stand before God, and they're not standing there to determine whether they're going to heaven or hell. They're all going to hell. Unless there might be some people there that go through the tribulation and stand there around there that are saved. We'll get into that another time. But that's the judgment of the unsaved dead. The judgment seat of Christ, according to the Scripture, is Christians only. And there again, it's not to determine whether you go to heaven or hell. It's to determine a reward or loss of rewards. And to try our works, the Bible said, of what sort they are. Now, I don't know what's going on. I don't know about you, but if I'm going to stand before that judgment, somebody tell me how's it going to be. All right? 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I believe I said. And let's look at verse 11. 2 Corinthians 5:11. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Oh, I'm sorry. Let's look at verse 10. For we, Christian people, we, not sinners, we, not lost people, we, Paul says, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. What is the judgment seat of Christ, Paul? The judgment that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We are made manifest unto God, and I trust you are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them with glory in appearance and not in heart. All right. Now, where's the other scripture? Somebody give me the other scripture about the judgment seat of Christ. Where's that other one? Got it right quick, somebody? This is 1 Corinthians, isn't it? Anybody got it? Where's the other? Oh, it's Romans. I was thinking. Romans 14:10. Thank you, sister. I think it's only in the Bible two times. Romans 14:10. There you go. Why dost thou judge your brother like we're judging each other? And how do you set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All right? Now let's go back to 1 Corinthians. And I believe it's chapter 3 that describes this judgment. Am I right? There you go. 1 Corinthians 3 actually describes. Here's your future. If you're saved, this is going to happen to you. We're all going to stand there. All right. Look at verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's your foundation. You're saved. Now, if any man build, there's your life upon this foundation. Six things: gold, silver, precious stone. That's good. Wood, hay, stubble. That's bad. And it said in that other verse, we'll receive the things done in our body, whether it be good or bad. Every man's what? Work. This will try your works. This will not try your soul. Your judgment on your soul is already done, been over with 2,000 years ago on Mount Calvary. The wrath of God will never fall on a child of God. Amen? Shout about that, brother. Verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest. His work, work, work. For the day shall declare it, because it is revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. He's going to throw all our works in the fire. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, wood, hay, and stubble, he shall suffer loss. Yet he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Notice the way the Bible words it. You're saved by fire. It don't mean the fire saves you. You're saved through and by that fire. By it. Like it says, so many people were saved by water in Noah's day. The water didn't save them. They're saved out of and through that water. Okay? Now, look. Now it said, you're going to receive a reward or you're going to lose a reward. Tonight, let's look at this just a little bit. There are seven judgments in the Bible. Maybe sometime I can preach you a sermon. It'd take a while on those seven judgments. Number one, there's our... Number one, there's our self-judgment. We're to judge there's the Savior on the cross. The judgment of God on Jesus Christ on the cross. That's judgment number one. Number two is our self-judgment. Did you know if we judge ourselves, God won't have to judge us? When we do something wrong, say, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, Lord, judge yourself. You won't have to be judged by the Lord so much. Number three is the judgment seat of Christ, the one we're studying tonight. Number four is the judgment of the nations. This is found in Matthew 25, where he separates from the sheep and goat. Nations over here, the nation, because of the way they treated Israel. That's why we better be careful how we stand with Israel in this present conflict. I'm with Israel. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the Democrats or Republicans say. I'm going to support Israel. You say, well, they found some crooks. I don't care what. Listen, all we know is what the news media tell us. But I can bank on this, brother. We stand with Israel. God will bless us. He said, I'll bless them that bless you. I'll curse them that curse you. And you, if anybody asks you what you better be praying for Israel that God would help them. They're God's earthly chosen people. And all that fighting going on over right now, that's Esau and Jacob. Esau and Jacob. That's Muslims and the Jewish people. That's Esau and Jacob. He said Esau would be a wild man, and those every man's hand be against him, and his hand be against every man. And that's exactly what's going on over there. Number five, there's the judgment of Israel. In Ezekiel chapter 20, God's going to judge Israel as a nation. Number six, there's the judgment of angels. And we're going to take part in that judgment. The Bible said, know ye not that we shall judge angels? That's something. We're going to get to judge angels. Now, help me out, Bible scholars. I'm assuming that's fallen angels. Right? I mean, I don't reckon we'd judge the angels perfect in heaven, would we? I wouldn't think so. Maybe they... Huh? I would think fallen angels. But it said we shall judge angels. Do what? That's what it says. And if that's what it says, bless God, that's what's going to happen. That's a good question, brother. I've heard it. That's a good question. And they if they ain't, they're going to, ain't they? In the tribulation, Satan probably his tail is going to drag a third of them with him. Wouldn't doubt it. Amen. I wouldn't doubt it. Might do it. Okay. And then the seventh judgment is the great white throne. Buddy, that's the big one. That's the big one and the terrible one. You better thank God you ain't going to stand before the great white throne. You know where we're going to be at the great white throne? We're going to be standing over here on the sidelines somewhere. The bride of Christ and the unsaved masses of all the eons of ages will stand before God one at a time and give an account of every idle word they've ever spoke. You say, now you can't tell me the Lord is going to take every person. We ain't in no hurry. It can take 100 million years. We ain't going to waste no more time. The Lord's going to sort it out. And all these blasphemers and all these rappers and all these people think they're so big and tough, they'll stand in front of God one day. They ain't going to be as big and tough as they thought they were. I'm telling you tonight, I thank God that I'm going to stand there clothed in His righteousness. Glory to God. I'm about ready to haul off and say, thank God the Lord covered me in His blood one day, and I'll stand in His righteousness, in Him alone, in Christ alone. By faith, I'll stand one day in the holy, righteous blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo! Glory to God. I wish that boy was here. I'm getting to sing that song. In Christ alone, I stand. Praise God. I'm glad the wrath of God ain't going to be on me. I'm glad I'm not going to hell. I'm glad I'm not going to burn. I'm glad my name's in the book. I'm glad one day the Lord put, my name is there. Hallelujah. Yeah. My name's there now. The Lord put it there when I was 18 years old. It'll never be took out. It can't wash it away. The devil can't take it out. The world can't take it out. Demons can't take it out. God, my name is there.
Yes.
Woo, hallelujah. Boy, I'm glad. Somebody wants to stand up and brag on the Lord tonight. Somebody just stand up and brag on him. Amen. Go ahead. Somebody else, right quick. Yes! Praise the Lord, sister. Amen. Yes, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody else, right quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead, sister. Amen. Anybody else? Right quick. Go ahead back there, brother. My neighbors, to say, I don't want my neighbors to point at me and say, he never even told me. That hypocrite lived beside me for 10 years and never even told me about Jesus, and here I am going to hell. I don't want their blood dripping off my hands. Bloody hands. Bloody hands. Now, it ain't going to affect where we're going. We're going to heaven. It's sealed. But boy, I tell you, there'll be some bloody hands dripping off our hands if we don't. That's a sign of not witnessing. Not witnessing. And I'll talk about the beautiful rewards. We won't have time for it tonight, but bloody hands. Bloody hands. I heard a man say not long ago, he said, all Baptist churches do now is this one gets mad and goes to this church, and then they get mad and come to this church, and then they get mad about something and go to another church, and then they get mad and go to another church, and then they get mad and go to another church. He said, we ain't fishers of men, we're keepers of the aquarium. And we ain't fishing for men, we're just swapping fish from one aquarium to the other. And that ain't, we're going to have bloody hands one of these days. Our cousins, our aunts, our uncles, our bus kids, our bus families, the people that we pass every day, the people that you live near, we'll have blood on our hands. I'm assuming, I don't know if that's literal, but I'm assuming that there'll be the blood. He said, I'll require their blood at your hand somehow. All right? Then there'll be broken hearts. There'll be broken hearts. When we see God's people will be ashamed. When we think of all the time that we wasted. What if you had to give an account of today? You had to give an account of what you've done today. And the Lord said, all right, July 23rd, 2014. What did he do? All right? Time in the Bible. Let's look here, Lord. 1 minute, 43 seconds. Time on the computer. 3 hours, 35 minutes. Looking at what? Nothing, just junk. Time of sleep, 7 hours, 29 minutes, okay. Time watching TV, 2 hours, 45 minutes. Time just goofing up. You think about that. There'll be broken hearts. There'll be broken hearts at the judgment seat of Christ. Then there'll be burned works. Burned works. I was on my church one night, and I saw a church member mowing his grass on Wednesday evening. I went to church time, just out mowing the grass. And it wasn't like it has been lately where it's rained 14 days in a row and Wednesday, and that's the way you had to get when you come. I'm talking about when it, pretty day, every day. He could have done it Tuesday. He could have done it Thursday. I don't know about you. I ain't perfect, but by God's grace, my grass needs mowing. It can wait tomorrow evening. It can wait tomorrow evening. Ain't nothing. Your grass is not as important as being in the house of God on Wednesday night. You say, well, I visit my grandpa on Sunday evening, and I don't get back in time for church. Your church service on Sunday night is more important than your grandma or your grandpa's visit. You visit grandpa on Saturday evening. You visit grandma on Sunday evening and get back in time for church. I know people say, we'll try to make it. And I'm not talking about a vacation once in a while. Everybody, you need a vacation. I ain't saying you're sinning if you do that. But I am saying this. When it comes right down to it, our priorities ought to be the Lord first. The Lord first, everything else works in our schedule. So, ladies and gentlemen, we'll have burned works. We'll have burned works. So it's like this. Let's just say, I hate to say it like this, but let's just say I get up one day and I pray. I read the Bible. I ask the Lord to help me with missionaries. I get some money out, stick it in my shirt pocket to give to church tonight. And I do whatever, you know. And then, let's just say that I get out the car and play a game of cards with somebody. All my works that day will be thrown in the fire. Everything I've done for the Lord will come out on the other side like gold. Like my watch, and I'll be rewarded. I don't understand exactly how them rewards will work, but I know that it'll be good. It'll be wonderful. Everything that I've done for myself, just for my own pleasure and enjoyment, will just burn up. Now, some people, their whole life will just burn up and go up in smoke. I don't know. I've always been afraid of coming home and my house burning. I've always had that fear. And it might one of these days. You don't know. You know, wires can go wrong. Rats can get in there and eat the wires up and make And no, so I remember Krista used to always, we'd always be afraid that them girls would lay their curling down on them, iron down on the bed. And I said, girl, don't do that. You're going to burn the house down. And Krista got real self-conscious about it. And we used to turn around and go back home. She's back there working with the kids tonight. And she'd say, Daddy, I think I left the iron on. And we'd turn around and go back home. And if you've ever had your house burned down, you never forget that scary feeling of it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. My mom's house caught on fire one time. But can you imagine standing watching? There ain't nothing you can do. And there's everything you own. All your personal belongings, your house, your bed, your clothes, gone like that. That's the way a lot of God's people are going to stand at the judgment and watch your whole life. And you're saved, yet so as by fire. Yet he himself shall be saved. You're going to heaven. I'm going to tell you, if you're in the book of life, brother, you're going to heaven. You're in. But it sure wouldn't be a shame to stand there and see your whole life. That's why the old song say, wasted years, oh how foolish. Wasted years. I hope and pray that I'll be able to stand before God and say I did something. You know, I think a lot of times even preachers preaching probably won't even get no rewards. They probably might have been doing it for themselves. Everything you do from your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ, you get a reward for it. If your motive's right, that's the secret, your motive. That's why the Bible said the Lord will try your work of what sort. He didn't say what size. He said what sort. There'll be some little old faithful preacher from the backside of Kentucky in the woods somewhere come up, probably get more rewards than the Dr. Bottle Stopper of the First Baptist of Timbuktu. And listen, I was telling Kelly the other day, we heard this guy give a testimony, and he was a football player. Big old strong guy. I forget his name. Man, he had a tremendous testimony. We got bus flyers here, y'all. And Sean's going to make us a phone. We got a bunch more. I dealt them a while ago. But anyway, this guy had a tremendous testimony. And you know what he said? The interviewer, whoever the guy was, asked him, said, did you grow up in a Christian home? He said, where was your daddy? He said, I never even seen my dad. I don't know where my daddy was. But he had a mama and a grandma. Now, you know what I told her? I said, one of these days, when the rolls call up yonder, God's going to call out some old mamas and grandmas that nobody ever heard tell of. And they're going to be in the front line, brother. And some big shot evangelists and some great Christian people will be way back there on the back. I'm telling you, the Lord don't look at stuff like we look at it. He looks at your work as what sort. I'm seeing groups say, well, we're the great, wonderful sons of heaven, but we won't come for less than $1,000. Yeah, it's all the reward you're ever going to give to. Amen? You listen, I know people that just go over to church. I knew a man one time. He used to come over to church and just work. He'd just clean stuff and play around, you know, and cut weeds and stuff just because he wanted to do it. That's what's going to give a reward one day. Amen. Just come around church and cut weeds. Get on them buses and clean them buses. The Lord looks down. One day he'll throw that in the fire and it'll come out gold. You'll get a reward for it. I don't know what them rewards are. I don't know. But I guarantee you, you'll love it.
Amen.
I've heard people say, but Danny, I don't mean to say I'm disrespectful or nothing. I don't mean this bad, but what are we going to do in heaven? There ain't no TV. There ain't no, isn't it? Well, we haven't yet. And they're sincere. And I say, I guarantee you one thing, it'll be better than anything you ever seen down here. I guarantee you one thing, brother.
Yeah.
I guarantee you the God of the universe
will
not, there's no such thing as being bored.
Yeah.
Woo! Glory to God.
Yeah.
You talk about good, it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You'll never be bored. You'll never be wore out. You'll never be aggravated. You'll never be tired. It'll be absolutely perfect. Listen, I heard old Kent Hovind talking on one of them DVDs. And he said, we don't know what our glorified. We're in a fallen body right now. We're in a sin-cursed body. We see colors. You know, in our glorified body, we might be able to smell colors. We'll have senses that we don't have now.
Amen.
Well, I won't only be able to see purple. I'll smell purple. Like that. Amen? Now, we can smell violent stuff like that, but smell, oh, boy, I smell something red coming down the road. and you can see it and smell it. We might be able to hear colors. Man, I love the sound of that orange. Of course, orange probably won't be that. But just the main color.
It's real loud.
I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine here? See, like we hear musical notes. Can you imagine the music? You can play with colors and smell them. Smell musical notes. What if we could smell music? Like we can hear it, it's beautiful. What if we could smell it and see it? Son, don't you worry. The God that made this universe will fix it that you're going to be absolutely ecstatic forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And we'll say, hallelujah, the Lord God Almighty, omnipotent, reign. And he shall reign forever and ever.
Yeah.
But if the shoe am gonna be on the other foot then. I mean, God, listen, but we gotta get past this judgment. That's hard. Once we get past the judgment seat of Christ, it's gonna look with shout. We'll have burned works and we'll have beautiful rewards. Now the rewards are this. You've heard preachers preach it. I ain't got time to get into it tonight, but I'll tell you. Five crowns you can win. One, there's the crown of life. James chapter 1 verse 12. And that's for enduring temptation. If you resist temptation, you're going to get a crown. You say, why do I want a crown? I don't know, but you're going to want one and you're going to enjoy it. Number two, there's the crown of glory. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 2 says the elders which feed the flock. If you feed the flock, you preach, you teach Sunday school, you feed people, you're going to get a crown of glory. Number three, there's a crown of rejoicing. 1 Thessalonians 2, 19-20, it's a soul winner's crown. You don't preach on this? Five crowns. Soul winner's crown. When we see the souls that we have helped to win, leading them to Jesus from the past of sin, with a shout of welcome, we shall all march in. Keep on the firing line. We're going to have a soul winner's crown. If you ever want a soul to Jesus Christ, you're going to get a crown for it. You know what you ought to do? Everybody in here ought to determine, I'm going to win me a soul. This summer, this fall, I'm going to win somebody. I'm going to keep talking till I win me a soul to Jesus. Number four, there's a crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. For those that love his appearing, for all that love his appearing, the Lord give a crown of righteousness. And then there's an incorruptible crown. 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 25, 6 and 7. That's a victor's crown. Somebody live a victorious life. Not get tangled up in the things of this world. Like hallelujah, hallelujah, somebody like that. He'll get that incorruptible crown. He lived in victory. So when we stand before the judgment seat, y'all, it's going to be something. You're going to lose. You're going to gain. You can lose reward. You can gain reward. Now, I ain't got time to get into it tonight, but you can lose a lot that you would have got if you lived right and served the Lord. All right? Anybody else have a question? She wasn't featured on the crusade on TV, Christian TV. Nobody ever heard, never had a seminar, never wrote a book. And her kids lived for God, served God. And her husband beat her and cussed her and everything. She stayed faithful. But the Lord's going to settle all that up on you.
Yeah.
He's going to settle it all up one day. I tell my girls, I tell her, I tell everybody, nobody's getting away with nothing. The Lord's keeping them. And everything that you do right ain't a waste of time. People say, well, I've done all this in the church and nobody even told me they appreciate it. It don't matter. It don't matter. He's keeping the books. And brother, one day, it'll all be brought out. Thank God. All right. We're going to stop right there. About time to go. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. She's playing something soft at night. I don't know about you, but this makes me want to keep on keeping on. I want to have some crowns and throw at His feet. I want to be able to throw some crowns at the Lord's feet. How about you tonight? Is everything right with you and the Lord? Maybe you just need to slip out of your seat, come down here.